This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang. And meanwhile, sticking to tech and logistics and what's happening in the world, the great chip drought is apparently set to continue for another 2 years. Even at the Munich Auto Show that's taking place right now, the Volkswagen Chief Executive Officer Herbert Diess warned of a bottleneck for the next months and years to come. And this is due to a supply crunch in Southeast Asia, notably in Malaysia, which is facing factory shutdowns linked to the virus control measures.
Yeah, just to be clear here, we're talking about semicon chips, right? Not potato chips. Yeah, so combined with a surge globally in demand, this has posed a significant problem for the auto industry, and we have seen sales decline and outlook can turn negative. And adding salt to the injury, we're also seeing significant log jams at ports across the world thanks to all this shutdown due to COVID-19. Current logistics networks are overwhelmed with a surge in demand following the global economic recovery and all that pent-up demand.
So what will the mismatch in demand and supply mean for chip prices in the short to medium term? And to what extent are these shortages impacting industries beyond the auto sector? So to shed some light on this, we have on the line James Teo, transportation analyst from Bloomberg Intelligence. James, good morning. Thanks so much for speaking with us today. So a lot of the news coverage about semiconductor shortages has focused on the struggles of auto companies. This was certainly the case last year at the peak of the pandemic. But do you see the shortage as still being confined primarily to the auto sector? How severe problem are we looking at?
Hi, good morning. Well, the situation is actually starting to get better. You know, we were short of many different kinds of chips before, but now, you know, actually we're seeing less of that. But the issue is that, you know, so long as you're short of just one chip, right, you can't really fully assemble your device. And, you know, it is really not just the advanced electronic goods like computers, iPhones and cars that need these microchips. In reality, many common household appliances like microwaves, refrigerators, they all need simple controller chips as well. And sometimes these simple ones are in even greater shortage than the advanced ones because, you know, they just have a wider and more diverse use, you know, in more appliances. So yeah, I would say this shortage is still going to be here to stay for quite a while.
So there are reports of stockpiling and double ordering. But at the same time, TSMC had guided that it expects the shortage in auto chips to start easing in the next few months. But that's just for the auto side. But for the industry as a whole, when do you expect to see chip shortages normalize?
I think it will be 2022 or even 2023 before the chip shortages fully normalize. And I think one reason is that, you know, the one type of chip, as I mentioned, could hinder production. And, you know, it takes time for suppliers to reconfigure their specifications. So I think you might heard that, you know, during the pandemic and even before that, the auto industry was actually down. And so the semicon manufacturers have reconfigured their production lines to cater more to their other customers. And so now suddenly when the auto demand is back up again, you know, it takes time for them to reconfigure their production. And as for capacity investments, I mean, of course, they're trying to add new capacity and invest in new factories, new lines, but that will take even longer, like 2 to 3 years to materialize. So that's why we think, you know, late 2022 or even 2023 before things are fully back to normal.
Yeah, so James, in the car world, right, and we know the Munich Auto Show is happening right now, I mean, we know that Volkswagen and Mercedes have talked about exactly that kind of delay in the timelines. Who are the winners and losers in this equation? Who is best coping with this issue?
I think it's hard to say that there will be a winner or loser because this is really a global problem. You will see that, you know, everything from PlayStations to freezers to, you know, cars, they're all in shortage in very low inventories. So, you know, maybe the shipping companies then, because, you know, shipping rates are going through the roof. We're seeing a bottleneck in terms of port congestion, in terms of tight shipping supply. So what we're seeing is, yeah, record high container freight and dry bulk shipping rates. And this is benefiting the container liners tremendously.
Well, meanwhile, how are automakers dealing with this chip shortage? For example, might they consider moving towards owning their own chip manufacturing unit one day?
Well, in the short term, you know, some of the manufacturers are doing away with certain features of the cars that use some of these chips. So you might have, less of the digital display units in some of these cars, and certain functions will just be, they'll sell the cars without the certain functions for now, and then if you want, you can add on those optional features at a later stage. That's how they're coping in the short term. In the longer term, I think they're going to be definitely looking at supply chain resiliency. They need to invest in perhaps dual sourcing certain critical chips and components, diversifying the source countries to beyond one or two countries, and really looking at their supply chain more thoroughly using data analytics and some automation or AI technology to help them manage their inventory, such that before it hits a certain low critical level, they'll get a warning to restock. And they've always been using this just-in-time inventory management philosophy, right, where they don't want to hold too much inventory. So one of the decisions that they need to look into is whether they want to hold more inventory in the future to cope with such shortages, potential disruptions.
Mm. Yeah. And you were talking about logistics earlier, and you mentioned about the shipping containers kind of winning out in this situation. Where are the main choke points when it comes to transport and logistics? And how fast can the backlogs be cleared from your vantage point at this moment?
Well, the main issue right now is port congestion. So, recently we saw a container terminal at Ningbo Zhoushan Port in China being closed due to one of these workers found to be infected with COVID. So the issue is really, whether there'll be more and more sporadic outbreaks of COVID that causes these kind of delays at the ports again. So it has been ongoing, whether it's ports in Western countries or in Asia, especially now because of the Delta outbreak that is happening more in Asia, especially in Southeast Asia. So that is also causing these kind of delays and disruptions, happening again and again. So it's really hard to say how long the whole backlog will take to be cleared. But usually, when a port is closed, you take like a few weeks. We've seen, even the Shenzhen Yantian port was closed for about 3 weeks to a month. So that may be how long that it will take for each of these incidents to resolve. But again, these kind of compile and stack up and they happen one after another. And that's why we're seeing container rates really hitting record highs.
Yeah, James, can you also help to paint a picture of the Southeast Asian component of this whole global supply chain, especially in terms of how Malaysia and Vietnam have basically locked down their factories due to the COVID issue?
Yeah, sure. There are actually several stages to the production of the semiconductor chips, from the design to the wafer manufacturing to the testing and assembly stage, where the good chips, those that are working well, are identified and they're cut out from the wafers and put into packages. And it is this testing and assembly stage. A lot of these outsourced testing and assembly factories, they are located in Malaysia and Vietnam. And of course, these countries have been badly hit by the Delta variant of late, leading to more severe lockdowns. And of course, then the chip production will be affected. So this has been the constraint of late for the global chip industry.
Well, you're expecting chip shortages to normalize in 2023. That's the best guess for many people. The US, China and Europe, in the meantime, are committing massive investments in building semicon facilities, which will be ready around that time frame. What's the risk of excess supply capacity in 2 to 5 years' time?
I don't think there will be excess capacity. There's really so much demand. There's the worldwide trend of growing 5G rollout, and that's going to need a lot of these chips, because the whole Internet of Things trend, right? With 5G, almost anything and everything eventually can be connected to the internet and working at high speeds. That will mean that almost all your daily devices, many of them may not be using a chip today, but more and more will be requiring some form of chip, and that is going to drive demand worldwide. So I think the long-term structural trend is that we're going to see growing demand, and this production will only need to catch up to that demand. Yeah.
James, thanks very much for speaking with us today and giving us your insights. That was James Teo of Bloomberg Intelligence talking to us about the state of play in terms of the global chip shortage, when things will normalize, and how all the various sectors of the economy are actually interlinked when it comes to getting these chips to the people that need them. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.